As expected, polls and surveys are playing an important role during this campaign, and every so often, a survey will reveal which candidates are leading in the popularity ratings. Well, you know, polls can act like a double-edged sword. Pwede siyang makatulong. Maaring ang isang survey, lalo pat ginawa ito talaga ng maayos, scientific, ay makatulong sa kandidato na ipakita saan siya dapat mas mag-concentrate ng kanyang kampanya, sa ang rehiyon na dapat mas tutukan niya. So it can be helpful. But on the other hand, it can have an influence on the voters because we all know that people want to vote sure winners. At kapag yung kandidato nila ay medyo nangungulelat, ay minsan hindi na nila pinipili sapagkat gusto nila yung kanilang iboto ay yung mananalo. We don't want losers. And by polling definition, losers are those who are not popular, which of course should be wrong, but that is the way it is. Now, if we follow that attitude, I imagine that the God of the Bible would be considered a loser. Kung ating ihana yung iba't ibang ideya ng Diyos sa mga tao at sabihin natin sino ang inaakala mong popular na Diyos at yung iba't ibang ideya na yan, I'm afraid the God of the Bible will not be as popular as current ideas of what God is like. There is the God of love in the popular mind against the idea of a God, as we were saying this morning, Diyos na may puot sa makasalanan, eh ayaw ng mga tao yan. Kaya pag ikaw ay mag-survey ng mga gusto ng mga tao, Diyos ng puro pag-ibig o Diyos na mayroong puot sa kasalanan, eh palagay ko talo yung Diyos na may puot sa kasalanan. Or take the God who punishes sin. And on the other hand, the God who forgives and understands sinners. And I think it will prove to be no match. But the fact is that polls do not decide who the true God is. We do not believe, as the popular saying goes, vox populi, vox Dei. We do not believe that the voice of the people is the voice of God. The voice of the people is often wrong, and the voice of the people can often be ungodly and violates the truth of God. Whatever the popular ideas of God today might be held, it does not change who the true God is. Sana talagang panghawakan natin ito. Ano man ang mga popular na ideya tungkol sa ano ang Diyos, anong uri siyang Diyos, hindi nito papalitan ang tunay na Diyos na ipinapahayag sa Biblia. And our series on Micah reveals a prophet whose burden is contained in his very name. Micah, as short of Micaiah, really means who is like the Lord. And we will see next Lord's Day, God willing, at the conclusion of the book, Micah asks that very question, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? And Micah's ministry coincided with Isaiah. Both of them ministered in the southern kingdom. But in the case of Micah, he too has a word for the northern kingdom. Meron siyang salita para sa northern kingdom ng Israel at gayon din sa southern kingdom ng Judah, at kaniyang pinapaalala sa kanila ang kanilang mga sagutin sa Diyos. In fact, Micah, as I have been saying, is one of the easiest to divide as an outline among the prophets in the Old Testament because every section begins with exactly the same word of invitation here. The first section we saw 1, 2 and following. Then 3:1 and following, and we are now in the last section, 6:1 and following, and they all begin with here. Nag-aanyaya ang Diyos na siya'y pakinggan, at yung pinaparinig ng Diyos ay mga magkakahalong bintang niya sa bayang nagkakasala, ngunit kahalo ng bintang ay yung kanyang mga pangako na kanyang panunumbalikin ang bayan na nagkasala. And this is part of Micah's message of how incomparable God is. Who is like the Lord? No one is like the Lord in terms of making his people give account for their sin. No one is like the Lord in making the leaders answer for their sin. And no one is like the Lord in finding a solution to his people's sin. And that solution, as we saw, is in the coming person of the Messiah who will be born in Bethlehem. Eh, dito sa Micah, pinangako na yan na ang Mesiyas ay isisilang sa Bethlehem at doon nakasentro yung gagawing pagliligtas ng Diyos sa mga makasalanan ay sa pamamagitan ng isisilang sa Bethlehem. At isipin ninyo na ito'y hinaharap pa lamang sa henerasyon ni Micah, ngunit sa kanyang henerasyon, inaasahan na yung pag-asa na yan ay dapat na pumukaw sa kanila, magpaiba sa kanilang buhay, paano pa sa atin? Yung pangyayari sa Bethlehem ay hindi isang bagay na hinaharap sa atin. Ang pangyayaring yon ay kaganapan na. We are looking back to that event which Micah's generation looked forward to. And Micah expected, God expected, that God's people in Micah's time would be so affected by that future hope that their lives would be different. And if that was the case of that generation which looked forward to the future, how much more to you and me, a generation who can look back to the event. How much more different we should be. And that is the difference expected of the people of God. And what kind of difference defined so concisely and so beautifully in 6 verse 8, that we are to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That's the lifestyle that God insists we must have. But now, what if God's people fail to live by this standard? You may ask, well, does that happen? Nangyayari ba na pumapalya ang bayan ng Diyos sa kanyang pamantayan ng buhay? Ang sagot rin ay maliwanag na oo. Pumapalya tayo. At kung yan ay mangyari, ano ang ginagawa ng Diyos? Now, the last chapter of Micah addresses that issue. And again, what we have here is a beautiful balance of who God is. I hope you have read the whole chapter in preparation for this service. I would only ask you to open to that chapter. We will read Micah 7, verses 7 to 10. Micah chapter 7, verses 7 to 10. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see and shame will cover her, who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her, now she will be trampled down like mire in the streets. So this chapter begins with the reality that God disciplines his people. God chastises. But it closes with one of the most touching thoughts of God's forgiving in all of the scriptures. At dyan muli makikita natin yung paghahalo ng katotohanan na itong Diyos na sinasabi ni Micah ay walang katulad. Siya ay Diyos na nagdidisiplina sa isang panig, ngunit siya ay Diyos na nagpapatawad sa kabilang panig. At dapat nating paghaluin ito ng may balanse. We must see this together in beautiful balance. The God who is the true God is a God who is chastising and a God who is forgiving. Our text has one of the best summaries about the right attitude in times of God's chastising. And tomorrow, on the Lord's next Lord's Day, God willing, we will see the side of forgiving. But for now, I want us to see and to take seriously this side of a chastising God. And I want to give you this message. God's chastisement is part of his gracious dealing with his people for their good. God's chastisement is part of his gracious dealing with his people for their good. Ang pagdidisiplina ng Diyos ay bahagi ng kanyang biyaya sa kanyang mga tao para sa kanilang ikabubuti. Kapag nakararanas ka ng disiplina, ng tinatawag nating pamamalo ng Diyos, ito ay bahagi ng kanyang biyaya. Now, when we want a biblical passage on God's chastisement, those of us who are familiar with the Bible immediately think of what? Hebrews 12. And that's right. Hebrews 12 probably has the fullest substance concerning chastisement. And we rightly turn to that chapter, review it, understand it, because it is full of teaching. But here is an Old Testament counterpart to what we have in Hebrews 12 for a theology of chastisement. And here are the attitudes necessary when a believer is undergoing a period of divine chastisement. I want us to see two such necessary attitudes. First is humble penitence, and second is hopeful confidence. Humble penitence, yung mababang loob na kabagbagan, and hopeful confidence, yung umaasang may kumpiyansa sa ating Diyos. Yun ang dalawang saloobin na mahalaga sa panahon na tayo dinidisiplina ng Diyos. The first is humble penitence. Look at the words, or listen to the words of Micah. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Now, Micah is mouthing these words in urging his hearers, and his hearers in the context are the sinning cities. His hearers must utter this penitently. And the utterance is, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Here is the reality, that God's people may be in sin, and the attitude expected of them when they are. And that is admission and confession of sin. That will always be an essential part of our dealing with God. Sa ating pakikitungo sa Diyos, laging nandoon ang pag-amin ng kasalanan at ang paghahayag ng kasalanan sa ating Diyos. Now, assume there is the reality of sin in those who are truly God's people. We are not without sin in this life. Eh, sana alam natin yan at tinatanggap natin yan bilang katuruan na hindi tayo mawawala ng kasalanan sa panig na ito, na hindi pa tayo niluluwalhati. Nandoon ang realidad ng kasalanan. Mag-ingat tayo sa anumang turo ng magkabilang panig na hindi binabalansi ang katuruan dito. We can be vulnerable to any false teachings that lead to extreme attitudes about sin in believers. On the one hand, is the teaching represented by the carnal Christian idea. The carnal Christian idea leads to a cavalier and licentious attitude to sin. It makes the believer unmindful and careless and carefree when it comes to sinning. Ang sinasabi ng carnal Christian ay, kapag carnal Christian ka, Kristiyano ka, bagamat ang buhay mo'y makalaman gaya ng mga hindi mananampalataya, ang nangyayaring saloobin dyan ay huwag kang mabahala, langit pa rin ang punta mo. Wala ka lang gantimpala, pero langit. Eh, huwag kang mabahala at ligtas ka kahit na anong uri ng iyong pamumuhay. I'm not making a caricature of this teaching. I taught it for many years when I was a young teacher. I was deceived, and I probably deceived many with that kind of teaching, giving them assurance of heaven when they have no right to do so. The Bible makes it clear the carnal mind is enmity against God. Kaya yung taong walang ingat, yung taong walang pakialam sa usapin ng kasalanan at iisipin niyang dahil ako'y nanampalataya kay Kristo, langit ang punta ko, yan ay isang pagbabaluktot ng turo ng salita ng Diyos. This is not acceptable. True conversion results in real sanctification of heart and life. Hindi maaaring wala kang bahala sa kasalanan. Ang tunay na naligtas at nanumbalik sa Diyos kay Kristo ay binibigyan ng kabanalan sa kanyang puso na makikita sa kanyang pamumuhay. Mag-ingat tayong huwag mahulog sa ganyang maling turo. But on the other ends of the spectrum are various versions of Christian perfectionism, teaching the possibility of actual sinlessness in this life, or in some milder form, the idea of consistent victory in this life. And both are phases of perfectionism, also giving an imbalance of view in the Christian life. It often leads to illusion. Kung minsan ang nangyayari dyan, para lang masabing hindi nagkakasala, ibinababa nila yung pamantayan. para lang kanilang masabing nagagawa nila. Ang pamantayan ng Biblia, huwag kang magkasala sa iyong isip, sa iyong saloobin, sa iyong pananalita, at sa iyong gawa. At para sa iba, para lang huwag masabing hindi sila nagkakasala, basta't hindi nila nagawa, ay kanila nang bibigyang konklusyon, wala silang kasalanan. When in fact, we sin in thoughts. We sin in our attitudes. We sin even in the way we feel. And yes, we may even sin while dreaming. It all manifests the reality of our remaining sin. Part of the sanctified life is that we struggle with sin. And when we say we struggle with sin, yes, that includes the fact that we sin, we seek to overcome it, but on this side of glory, we will never be complete. Apostle Paul himself said, "Not that I have attained." And you and I must come to that admission, we never can attain. We do not give up in the struggle to attain our victories. But here is an essential thing. Essential to overcoming sin in our lives is the regular admission and confession of sin. Isang napakahalaga para managumpay tayo sa ating mga kasalanan ay yung regular na pag-amin at paghahayag sa Diyos ng ating kasalanan. Ito ang tinatawag na penitence, kabagbagan. There is little place for penitence in the current and popular versions of Christian living today. So much said about blessing and so much said about happiness. Very little, if any, is said today of penitence in the Christian life. And yet, it is a big deal in the Scriptures. Both Old Testament and New Testament make much of penitence in the life of the saint. Proverbs 28:13, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." What is this text talking about covering sin? It is attempting to cover it from God, which is foolish in the first place, but ultimately destructive. But that's not only Old Testament. 1 John 1, 8-10 speaks of three negatives. Those who say, if we say we have no sin, and then those who say, if we say we have not sinned, or two negatives, we say we have no sin, and we say we have not sinned. Yung sinasabing wala akong kasalanan sa aking likas, at yung nagsasabing hindi ako nagkasala sa aking gawa o gawi, ay parehong ilusyon. Ang kabaligtaran niyan ay 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins." So instead of denying sin in our nature or sin in our actual commission of sin, we must confess sin. And this is between you and God. This is not to be done by ritual. We do not believe in going to a confessional there to confess it to a priest. That's a terrible illusion. But brethren, as much as we denounce the confessional, there's something worse. And that is to make a play of it. To make a play of the habit of confessing without the penitence. Making a ritual of uttering prayer of forgive my sins and yet not seriously taking the issue of your sin to address it, to face it, to repent of it, to feel sorrow over it. Now, what has this got to do with the chastising God? Well, everything. Genuine and humble penitence will uphold the right of God to chastise. And that is what Micah is uttering here, that he hopes and invites the sinning cities to utter, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Yung tunay na kabagbagan ay tinatanggap at kinikilala yung karapatan ng Diyos na magdisiplina. Micah here speaks of the indignation of the Lord, and in the Hebrew original, it is the word for a raging storm. As I was explaining this morning, God's wrath or God's anger is not to be imagined like an uncontrolled tantrum, which often our anger is. But it does remind us that our sins provoke the Lord. Yung ating mga kasalanan ay nakakagalit sa ating Diyos bilang Ama. In fact, in the New Testament, as I was explaining also this morning, care is taken to differentiate chastisement from punishment. It's not an act of condemnation. It is not an act of judgment. Chastisement, in fact, is an act of love, a gracious act of God. And this is where Hebrews 12 comes in. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." Don't be discouraged, it says. Instead, when you are chastened, it is because the Lord loves you. So the worst attitude when under chastisement is to rebel against God. It worsens our condition. Pinakamasahol na saloobin sa panahon ng pagdidisiplina ng Diyos ay ang maghimagsik sa Kanya. I know of a case of a Christian woman noted for her joy until one day she was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And from that day on until her dying day, she was marked with bitterness. She could not accept it. And she lost the joy. It made her worse. And that is something that you and I can fall into. Kaya isang kailangan sa panahon na ang Diyos ay magdidisiplina ay yung kabagbagan, at yung kabagbagan ay tinatanggap yung karapatan ng Diyos. Bakit wala siyang karapatan? Halimbawa, ikaw ay binigyan niya ng isang bagay at tuwang-tuwa ka sa kanyang ibinigay. Yan man ay material na bagay o posisyon o isang bagay na nakapagpapasaya sa iyo, subalit natutok ang buhay mo sa bagay na yon, at pagkatapos ay kanyang kinuhang muli bilang disiplina, at kung sa dahilan yon ikaw ay maghimagsik, hindi mo kinikilala ang karapatan ng Diyos. He gives, but He takes away. And your response should be like that of Job's, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's penitence. And that's needed as an attitude in recognizing the God who chastises. A humble penitence. Perhaps you're in a situation exactly where this is what's needed of you. Baka nasa kalagayan kang ito yung talagang hinihingi sa'yo. Maring nasa damdamin mo yung pagre-rebelde. Ayaw mo nang nangyayari sa iyo na hindi mo naman makontrol. At isang paliwanag marahil dyan ay nandyan ang kamay ng Diyos na nagdidisiplina. Hindi niya hininanais ang iyong kasiraan. Hindi niya pinaplano na ikaw ay kanyang ipahamak. Sa halip, maaring ang bagay na yon ang siyang magpapahamak sa iyo at kanyang binabawit, kinukuha, at ikaw ay naghihimagsik. Nawawala ang iyong kapayapaan, napupuno ka ng ligalig at pagtatampo sa Diyos. At hindi ito dapat ang iyong maging saloobin, kundi humingi ka ng biyaya ng kabagbagan mula sa Diyos. Seek for humble penitence. But now, look at this. Together with humble penitence, one can have hopeful confidence. Kasama nung kabagbagan ay narito yung umaasang kumpiyansa. Even as Micah spoke of bearing the indignation of the Lord, listen to his confident words. "Do not rejoice over me," he says to his enemies. "When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." I mean, this is the Lord who is a raging storm in chastisement. And Micah says, "I'll bear that because I have sinned, but I fully expect that this same Lord with his indignation will be a light to me." Which teaches us that chastisement, when rightly received, leads to restoration and vindication for the believer. Kapag tinanggap natin ng maayos, ng angkop ang disiplina ng Diyos, ang resulta nito, ang bunga nito, ay ang pagpapanumbalik. And the point of chastisement is not to be an end by itself. It is a means. It is a means of God for something good. And that tells us something about parenting. When we discipline as parents, kung tayo magdisiplina bilang mga magulang, dapat ito yung matalinong disiplina. Dapat ito ay kasangkapan. Discipline should never be administered to let off the steam of anger without control. Mag-ingat tayo riyan na yung disiplina natin sa ating anak ay hindi para ibuhos yung ating galit. Ang pagdidisiplina ay matalino, pinagpaplanuhan, at may angkop na layunin. Ganyan magdisiplina ang Diyos at gayahin natin bilang mga magulang. Listen to Hebrews 12 verse 10. "He chastens us for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." Oh, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Meron daw kahihinatnan ang disiplina. Kaya yung disiplina ng Diyos ay hindi an end in itself, hindi yun ang layunin mismo. Kung may kinuha siya sa iyo na matapos niyang ibigay, hindi ito para agawin lang sa iyo. Instead, have your mind on the grace and character that your chastisement is designed to restore. Could there have been perhaps too much covetousness? And in chastisement, the Lord takes away that which is the object of your covetousness. Don't rebel. Instead, as you receive it, it is going to bear fruit. And then you will realize that you have troubled yourself with something that wasn't worth it. You have desired too much something that wasn't worth desiring. And that's when you are restored. And that means if you will have that kind of result in the duration and aftermath of our chastisement, maintain what I call a loyal reverence for God. During the indignation part, Micah noted the challenge of the enemies. "Where now is your Lord?" Yun ang hamon sa kanya. Parang siguro iniinsulto siya, tinutuya siya, at sinasabing, "Yan bang Diyos mo? Kinuha yung nakapagpapasaya sa iyo." And at such a challenge, we can give in and yield to the insult and feel that rebellion. Instead, Micah here says, "I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." The moment you give in to the thought that God isn't being fair to you, the next step is to seek remedies to the chastisement that is against God's will. And the farther you are departing from God. Instead, brethren, in the time of chastisement, let us be loyal. And loyal reverence is believing that God will do us no wrong, though we have wronged Him many times. If there is any wrong In the relationship, it is always on our part, but God is never wrong. I love that account of the very first recorded in the annals of Christian martyrology, meaning study of Christian martyrs, the very first case occurred in the year 156. The case was that of Polycarp. According to tradition, Polycarp was himself a disciple of the Apostle John. And here he was during the time of persecution, being challenged to recant his faith. His reply was recorded as this: "I have served Christ 86 years, so he's into his 90s. I have served Christ 86 years, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king? I am a Christian." And that's the loyalty that we will need to exercise in the times that seem to be disturbing, that God is doing me no wrong. Circumstances may be wrong, and people may be insulting me, and the enemy may want my destruction, but God is my Father. He will do me no wrong. In the rough times of our lives, you will be tempted that God has abandoned you. And loyalty to Him means believe that He has not. He has not abandoned you. He has not wronged you. He may be chastising you. He may be chastising us. But chastisement, we must ever believe, is an act of love. It is possible that you wronged Him, and as a loving Father, He is chastising. But learn to be loyal. Learn to be confident that after the chastisement are the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You remember the popular shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the midst of that psalm, it says in verse 4, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, the staff can be used to guide and to lead, but it can also be used as a rod, panghampas. At may mga pagkakataon na hinahampas ng Panginoon ang kanyang tupa, ngunit ito ay bahagi ng kanyang patnubay. At ang tamang tugon ay sabihin nating ang kanyang pamalo ay kasama sa dapat na ikaaliw natin sa katotohanan ng kanyang pagiging ama natin. Our last hymn puts it very well. In the last verse, it says, "Thee will I love, my joy, my crown. Thee will I love, my Lord, my God. Thee will I love beneath thy frown, or smile, thy scepter, or thy rod. What though my flesh and heart decay, thee shall I love in endless day." And that is what I mean by loyalty. Loyalty to God when you are chastised. Loyalty to God when times are rough. Loyalty to God when His hand seems heavy. But in all those times, He is not doing you any wrong. But to you, my friend, if you are not in Christ, it is not chastisement that you are facing. It is judgment. Until God is your Father in Christ, He is your judge. Hanggat ang Diyos ay hindi mo ama kay Hesukristo, Siya iyong hukom. At ang kanyang gagawin sa kanyang hukuman ay hindi mamalo. Natulad ng isang ama, ang gagawin niya ay parusa. Ang parusa na ito'y ibinagsak kay Hesukristo bilang kahalili, at ang paanyaya sa iyo'y lumapit ka ngayon kay Hesukristo. At kung ikaw ay na kay Kristo, bahagi ng pakikitungo niya sa atin bilang kanyang mga anak ay ang kanyang pagdidisiplina bilang umiibig sa atin. And let our attitude be a combination of this humble penitence: "I will bear the indignation of the Lord, for I have sinned against Him." But with that hopeful confidence, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation.
Let's close in prayer.
Maraming salamat, O Diyos, sa katotohanan na hindi ka tulad ng popular na ideya ng mga Diyos ngayon na ang nakikita lamang ay pagmamahal na sentimiento sa halip na prinsipyo ng iyong kabanalan. At sa pagpapaalala na ikaw ay banal na Diyos, bahagi ng iyong pakikitungo sa iyong mga anak ay ang pagdidisiplina sa aming mga kasalanan. And so help us, Lord, to understand that as you are a loving Father, you are a chastising God. And in your chastisement, your design is gracious, your intention is for our good. And grant, Lord, that this thought will breed in us the right attitude when we are chastised. And that attitude is one of humble penitence. Tulungan mong magkaroon kami ng tunay na kabagbagan sa aming mga kasalanan. At kasama rito ang tunay na pag-amin, pagkahayag sa iyo ng aming mga kasalanan sa halip na ito ay itago. At tulungan mo, Panginoon, na manampalataya kami na nasa iyo ang pagpapatawad sa aming paghahayag ng aming mga kasalanan. Deliver us from any teaching that leads to extreme attitude, whether that is one of carefree and careless attitude concerning sin that comes from teachings like the carnal Christian, or that which leads to wrong expectations that come from perfectionism. Help us, Lord, to understand that on this side of glory, we will always struggle with sin, and sin will always be a reality, and yet we must ever seek to overcome it and to gain victories from it. And part of that is to be penitent, and genuine penitence will uphold your right to chastise. Deliver us, Lord, from the attitude of rebellion when we are under chastisement, and to understand that the chastening of the Lord is out of His love. But with that humble penitence, teach us hopeful confidence to believe that chastisement is intended to lead us to restoration and vindication. And with that thought, help us to receive chastisement even when painful, but believing that afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And thus, in the duration and aftermath of our chastisement, give us the grace to maintain a loyal reverence for you. When we are challenged by our enemies, where is the Lord your God? We would say, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So grant, Lord, to hold fast to our belief that you never wrong us. And though in the multitudes and many ways that we wrong you, you never will wrong us. And your intention is always that we may be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So grant that in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of rough times of our lives, when we are tempted to think that you have abandoned us, help us to reject even the thought of it. For you never will abandon us, you never will wrong us, but as a loving Father, you do chastise us. Teach us, with the psalmist, to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.